Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Friends with Friends. Dave and Frey, we are back to the condensed version of the theme tune this week. How do you feel?
Oh, so that was a one-off, was it?
Yeah. I hope people enjoyed it, though.
What about using the longer version, but just underneath our talking, you know?
Maybe.
Could do that, couldn't we? Could do that. If you really wanted to, Pete, if you really wanted to showcase me.
Not a speedier process for me to edit, that is. So,
Yeah, that's true.
How I feel. Well, I don't know. Be honest, I don't know what version of the theme tune you ended up getting because I had it in after. So, God knows, I could have played you some completely different music.
Just the theme tune to Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
Which, weirdly, is the next sitcom I could think of, bizarrely. Even though I don't think I've ever seen an episode of it.
Me neither. What's it about?
The Third Rock from the Sun. Which is Earth. Pete. Earth.
Yeah.
That's all I know. I got nothing more for you. Sorry. This is not a podcast about Third Rock from the Sun, though. You'll be all pleased to know, I'm sure.
No, you know what I've also not done?
You haven't sent me the request, have you?
No, because it is... But do you know what? While I find it, why don't you mention the person who said, hey, this is also my request?
Well, I will, and that's Danny. And Danny says, yay, I requested this one too. Could I have a cheeky mention as well? You've had a mention, Danny. I don't know how cheeky it was. How do I make it cheekier? Hey, Danny. Is that cheeky or is that just sort of...
No, cheeky I think has got to involve some sort of innuendo.
Okay. I don't know how comfortable I am with that, frankly. Sort of when it's so deliberate, you know?
Anyway, Alice requested the episode.
Hi, Dave and Pete. I'm going to choose one of the lesser requested seasons and go for the one with the pediatrician. It's by no means my favourite, but it's the first introduction of, brackets, the best character, Mike.
Him and Joey
becoming to know each other.
The best character.
We'll dig into that shortly, won't we? We'll dig into that, Alice. Him and Joey pretending to know each other and Joey getting confused about how many sisters he has is so funny. I also love when Rachel's prank calling Dr. Wiener. My friends and I quote this bit all the time. Love the pod, etc., etc. Many thanks. Alice in Brighton. Hello, Brighton. Good evening, Brighton.
I love Brighton. Brighton's great.
I love Brighton. Brighton is great, isn't it? Yeah, well done, Brighton. Just well done, Brighton, for being Brighton. You know? That's what I'd say to Brian. Would you like, Peter, what some might call a synopsis?
Yeah, go for it.
Season 9, episode 3, 175254.
Yeah, I'm quite
all
keen
right,
on
isn't
that.
It?
Yeah.
Not terrible. Monica is offered a great job in New York City, and Chandler, unable to get out of moving to Tulsa, is forced to commute back and forth between the two cities. Phoebe and Joey set each other up on blind dates. Joey finds a complete stranger named Mike for Phoebe's date. First appearance of Paul Rudd as Mike Hannigan. Rachel's pediatrician, meanwhile, Dr. Wiener, drops her due to obsessive phone calls. She then takes Emma to Dr. Gettleman, Ross and Monica's pediatrician, but learns that Ross is still his patient. Where, Peter, wouldst thou like to begin?
Can we get the Tulsa bit? Can we get that done? Because I just feel like the Tulsa bit's all just a bit of... Do we know why that happened? Because it doesn't feel like narratively it's that It's a weird thing for them to throw in narratively. Was there some sort of reason why Matthew Perry needed to be away or something?
Yes, Matthew Perry was filming, I believe, the whole nine or the whole 10 yards.
I see.
One of the films with Bruce Willis was around this time, therefore he had to be elsewhere. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's just a bit of a, like, we need to get rid of Chandler for a bit.
Yeah.
And it's a slightly confusing solution they came up with, wasn't it? Just send him to Tulsa.
It just feels a little bit like a distraction from something.
Yes, yes.
And that narratively you don't really get much out of it in terms of Chandler and Monica, but that explains it if it was literally because of something practical rather than...
Yes, it was logistics, I believe, rather than anything sort of narratively. But often these things are, aren't they? I don't think they would have just sent one of the six friends away for no real reason. You know, it's such a weird thing to do to a sort of an ensemble show like that, isn't it? For no reason. So anyway, and the problem with it is, poor Chandler, he's off to Tulsa and everyone's sad to see Monica go.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck about him disappearing, do they?
They couldn't give less than two shits, no. They're probably just thinking, oh, a little breather from the old relentless comedy, in inverted commas.
And even when there's that comment about, you're the glue that holds the group together, and Chandler goes, really? And then I think, is it Rachel that goes, not you?
Like, no, Ross, yeah, he just goes, not
Ross,
you.
Yeah.
It's such a, what's the word? Ridiculous notion that Chandler would be the glue. He's so dismissive, isn't he, and cutting. And in fairness to Chandler, I did think, actually, before Monica decided to stay on her own, I think it was nice of him to try and ensure that Monica could stay without him, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, and also, she completely dicks him around in this episode, because at one point she's like, no, of course I'm coming. I'm absolutely coming. I've got to. Then all of a sudden it's, don't be silly, I can't possibly say no to this job. And then it's just something I got to do.
It does seem a bit weird that even from the start, they didn't just think, right, how can we make this like work real? I mean, do you know what, Pete? In the modern day and age, this would be a piece of piss, wouldn't it? Chandler would be like, I'm going to work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like we all do, Monday, Friday from home. So really, he'd only be away for two nights and then boom, easy breezy. He could probably even negotiate a third day working from home, I would suggest, and spend 2 days in Tulsa. That'd be easy breezy. I've used the phrase easy breezy a bit much there. Sorry, what are you going to say, Peter?
It's okay. Easy breezy. You're trying to make easy. Stop trying to make easy breezy happen.
Easy breezy.
I also want to point out that when I was typing Tulsa in my notes, autocorrect kept changing it to Tulisa. anyone outside the UK probably doesn't know who Tulisa is. Tulisa was a member of a three-part... What genre would you say?
I was just thinking that.
I was going to give them quite a bit of sort of artistic credit and go for sort of, I don't know, R&B or something. But it's
pop, R&B, with little hip-hoppy bits. There's everything in there, isn't there, with N-dubs, frankly?
Yeah. Nothing wrong with pop. I'm obviously not being a pop snob. I love a bit of pop.
No. I know what you mean. It's hard to pigeonhole N-dubs, isn't it? Should we see what on the internet says about N-dubs?
Remember their recent tour when it just descended into chaos?
I'll tell you what, N-dubs are an English hip-hop trio from Camden, according to Google.
Okay.
Not sure the credibility quite stretches that far. Anyway, I'll tell you what, Pete, for one of the upcoming episodes, Tulsa sex tape autocorrect will actually work quite well with the one with the sharks.
That's true. I remember somebody watching that sex tape, and of course we do not condone the leaking of sex tapes, that is, or sex shaming.
We got here very quickly and strangely, didn't we?
I just want to say that that's of course. That was all very wrong.
Yeah.
But I remember someone referring to the technique of what was on display in that video as lizard tonguing. And that's something I've always remembered.
I think we'll leave that there and move swiftly back to the television show Friends, shall we?
Well, if we have to.
Chandler starts looking for jobs for Monica, doesn't he? He is putting in a lot of effort here. He first tries to arrange it so she can stay. Then he tries to really find her a job to make her happy. He is, like, for once, fully on Chandler's side here. He's putting in all the right effort, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's sat there searching different restaurants. And you know the restaurant recruiter that Monica rings to attempt to find a restaurant in Tulsa?
The headhunter.
the headhunter. That headhunter is shit because she's only told Monica that this apparently incredibly reputable restaurant in New York wants her because
she called.
Happened to ring her. Yeah.
I know, I was thinking that. That headhunter just sits at home going, I imagine at some point she's probably going to think about moving to Tulsa. So when she does think about that, she'll ring me. I'll tell her. That'll be a nice surprise.
Yeah, real flaw in the absolute basics of headhunting, I think, to just let the head hunt you. It doesn't really work, does it?
No, I thought that. It's a very poor business model from the headhunter. But...
And Monica goes, they asked for me directly? Well, yeah, no one fucking told you.
Yeah, wouldn't she just be like, when did this happen? And why is this
why,
the first time
why am I just hearing about
it?
This? Yeah, exactly.
Christ. Anyway, Monica blabbers her way back into staying, doesn't she? She sort of does the, what does Chandler call it? Chattering like a monkey thing. And then, I mean, it feels like a quick and easy solution to the whole thing in the end, doesn't it? They just, having almost got rid of one third of the entire cast of the show, they've now just sort of palmed off Chandler in the way that they obviously intended to do in the first place, and everything is sort of back to normal, I guess, and Monica stays in the apartment, and you don't really notice it. How many scenes are there in Tulsa over the next few episodes? About 10.
Yeah, and they're just in generic offices and hotel rooms.
Doesn't make much of a difference to our lives, does it, as friends watchers?
Also, do you think it's a coincidence that the one point at which Chandler disappears for a little bit to go and do some film is the same point at which Mike comes in?
What do you think they were?
I don't know. Maybe it was an opportunity to sort of, I don't know, fill a gap with someone.
Expand the cast. Yeah, well, I guess actually that probably is, that there is definitely a sound sort of production thing behind that, isn't there? Of them going, well, we usually pair everyone off for these plot lines, so we need a sixth person. I hadn't ever thought of that before, but I imagine, Peter, that's exactly right.
Oh, well, I try my best.
Well, and you've tried and succeeded your best, I'd suggest. Well done. Congratulations to you. You've brought some new, fresh insight into my brain. And for that, I thank you. The final thing about this plotline is I really love when Phoebe just can't be fucked with the sentimental goodbyes and pushes
shoves him out the door.
Out of his own door.
Yeah.
There is something about the older I get, the less I can be fucked with, like, just everyone hugging to say goodbye, especially from a group of people that are probably going to see each other the next day or the next week. Do you know what I mean?
This is why I remain a big advocate of the, is it French exit?
Yeah, French or Irish, depending on what sort of racist you are.
Right. Is that, it's not. Hang on.
No. Well, it's
David,
it's,
I'm briefly worried I'd just been racist. I don't think
No. Irish people call it an Irish exit, to be fair. Okay, it's absolutely fine, yeah.
Good.
No, but it's attributed to either the French or the Irish. You know, it's maybe negative stereotyping rather than xenophobia.
Oh, no, in this case, I fully admire it. I love that form of exit.
It's amazing. It's absolutely, the older I get, the more I do it, the more thrilling it is as well, just to be like, I'm going now, all the best.
Yeah.
And now when I arrive at places, I think about where to say, put my coat, so I don't have to make a fuss about getting my coat to leave. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
Leave it at the back of the room.
Sort of tactical rudeness. Well, not rudeness, because I don't think it's rude. I think it's beneficial, but...
Yeah, correct. Like, if you arrive at a bar, say, and it's someone's birthday, if you chuck your coat on, like, the, you know, there's usually a table, and then there's, like, maybe the bench behind the table, everyone's chucked the coat, and it's under a big pile. You chuck it on there, you're fucked, because you can't do an Irish exit, can you? You have to rummage through all the coats. But if you just leave it a couple of tables over or a bit nearer the door, absolutely fine. Slip it out, away you go. You go.
Right.
Yes, I did say slip it out, and it wasn't in that context. Stop being a filthy pervert, Peter, and play a sting. Talking about being a filthy pervert, Wiener!
Oh, God, yeah.
To be fair to Joey, Pete, it is a very funny name.
It is. But when... When Phoebe sort of lists those, is it Sandy Poopak is one of them? it gets so absurd, doesn't it, the names?
I don't like that bit. And I know it's funny, and I actually weirdly referenced Sandy Poopak today as I was leaving the beach house and we were sort of cleaning up, and I was there for my sister's birthday, and my sister said, God, is this porch is even sandy. I can't, no, she said it's more sandy than I remember. And I just said, sandy poo bag.
Nice. And I don't Had you already watched this episode by then? Yes, I had. I watched it last night in preparation.
Yeah, no, I don't think I was that quick to recall sandy poo bag. I was just thinking that. But aside from it being useful when you're at the beach, I don't think this scene is particular. It feels a bit lazy that Phoebe suddenly has multiple friends with sexually hilarious names.
Yeah, and I mean, why is Sandy Poopak a sexual name?
Oh, no, not so.
I should clock that.
Yeah, it just feels a little bit lazy, as you say, because it is just listing very sort of juvenile funny names, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like they were a beat away from going Tits McGee, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like absolutely ridiculous. But Wiener, Dr. Wiener, funny name, and I do enjoy, as Alice, who requested the episode, did, the Rachel prank call, and that image of Jennifer Aniston just going, Wiener, is an enduring one, and certainly the only way I say the word Wiener these days. Not that I say it very often, but when I do say it, it is a la Aniston.
I don't think I ever say the word Wiener.
No, it's more actually just for genuine sort of hot dog based reasons, you know?
Would you, like, do you think to yourself, oh, I could murder a Wiener tonight?
No, no, but sometimes you'd be at a stall where that'll be how it's listed on the menu, you know?
Right, okay.
So you'd be like, I want the jumbo Wiener or whatever.
Well, there you go. Cool.
Sandy Poopak. Anyway, Rachel's back to the plot line. Rachel's very worried about, frankly, every little thing that her child is doing, which actually, Pete, on first watch, didn't get. Having now had, and this is going to be controversial, and I don't want to say having a dog's like having a child, because parents do not agree with that. But the sentiment is the same. Having a, like, when I first got my dog, every time he, like, coughed or sneezed, I was like, fuck, what's wrong with him? And, like, because you just don't know, do you? I hadn't had a dog in the same way Rachel hasn't had a baby. And, like, you do panic. You're like, oh, I've killed them. I've killed the fucking thing already.
Yeah, you all of a sudden have more sort of, you're more sensitive to something's health and well-being, aren't you?
100%. And now, frankly, if my dog, like, vomits, I'm just like, ah, I'll be all right tomorrow. Like, once you've
dogs vomit all the time, don't they?
I know, but when it happens the first time, you shit yourself, don't you?
Dog throws up, you shit yourself, it's just chaos.
Dog throws up, I drop a Sandy Poopak. Can a doctor fire a patient? Is that the right terminology? Rachel says we've been fired by Dr. Wiener. I'd suggest it's the other way around, if anything.
Maybe that's private healthcare for you.
Yeah, what, they're technically an employee,
they have all the power
of the scheme. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit mad, isn't it? But yeah, Dr. Wiener obviously gets quite annoyed by this very quickly. I wouldn't have really given anyone my home landline, to be fair, if his wife's answering.
No, that feels like going above and beyond the required effort of a doctor. Give you private phone lines.
Yeah, I just feel like there must be some sort of system when there's a newborn, and you'd be like, right, sure, I'm your doctor, but if anything happens overnight or at the weekend or, you know, out of office hours, just call this number.
Yeah.
It's 911 or, you know, whatever the equivalent is, some sort of advice line. There must be some options there, right? Or your bloody health insurance. So she decides she wants to see another doctor. Ross says Dr. Gettleman is dead, which, considering we know he's not dead, I find it... I'm not a very superstitious man, Pete, but I do find the idea of saying someone's dead when they're not is tempting.
It's a bit ethically dodgy at best.
Well, certainly ethically dodgy. I just feel like, sort of karmically, Imagine Dr. Gettleman did drop dead. If I was Ross, I'd be like, shit, yeah. that was me.
Yeah.
I've put that energy into the world. And as I say, I don't believe in any of that stuff, but oof, wouldn't be saying, oh, I think Dr. Gettleman's dead. Turns out he's not dead at all, is he, Pete? And Ross is still seeing Dr. Gettleman. And I don't think we have enough time on this podcast to dig into the psychology of why Ross still sees his pediatrician.
Yeah, it's very Ross sort of thing to do, and then to try and style it out when he's rumbled. But yeah, there's all sorts going on there, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it is fucking weird, is basically what it is. And, you know, we've only seen two instances of him being at the paediatrician, and both were fucking embarrassing and awful. So I can only imagine the rest of his experiences are fairly similar, you know?
Well, and this one ends with him sort of approaching what he hopes is a child whose parent isn't nearby. It turns out it's actually the son of the woman he's been flirting with. And then he goes back to the apartment and makes some comment about, oh, somebody was scaring people in the doctor. You were you were approaching random children.
Yeah, I mean, let's say that kid wasn't the son of the woman he was flirting with. What did he expect to happen?
That couldn't have ended well, could it?
Just a wandering orphan that hopefully didn't have any parents in the waiting room. Like, chances are that kid's parents are pretty close by, right? Whether it's her or not. Like, I think that was going to end badly either way. He has not thought that through. And I just think he could have styled it out, right? She comes out, she goes, Rossi, we're ready for you. Easy, right? Just say to the woman you're flirting with, you know, my child's at school, just picking up some medicine for him. You know, something like that. Ross has a child. My child's with his mother and her lesbian wife. Why did I say lesbian wife? That was weird. I just always feel like Ross's punchline is to use the word lesbian.
Yeah, and
I just
inserted it
completely erroneously there when I could have just said wife.
Well, I also think as well that there's a couple of occasions in Friends where Ross sort of misjudges situations and ends up looking like a criminal. Like in the Unagi episode where he's like, how would I attack a woman is what he ends up kind of asking, isn't it? And then here he's basically trying to style something out by approaching children.
Yeah, and when he's trying to retrieve his salmon shirt from Mona's apartment, he is effectively breaking, entering, and being a voyeur to his ex-girlfriend and her new date. Like, that is
his boundaries
criminal
are
at best.
Fucking wild, aren't they, actually?
Yeah, if he'd have been arrested every time he'd been in a situation like that, his rap sheet would read pretty fucking terrifyingly.
Oh, he'd be on several registers, wouldn't he?
He's a pervert, he's an assaulter, and he approaches children in a paediatrician's office. That guy would be in jail!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
At one point in my note, I literally just wrote Sandy Poopak with no further sentence around it. I just wrote Sandy Poopak.
That's all you need to do sometimes, Pete. Sometimes it'll just provide a little moment on a podcast like this. So we're on to the dates, the double date, the Joey, Phoebe, Mary Ellen and Mike date. And as has been pointed out, first appearance of Mike Hannigan. This is a big moment, to be fair, isn't it?
It is. I was very happy when I realised we were about to see the appearance of Mike.
Yeah, and I do love that as a story, as their background, Phoebe and Mike. You know, this is ultimately Phoebe's love of her life. Like, and the way she met him was picked by Joey walking into a coffee house and shouting, "Mike," and hoping for the fucking best. And it's a real lesson in life that sometimes the best way to make friends is just to wander into a room, pick a name and shout it and see what happens.
I also got a lot of time for Mary Ellen. I think she's a great minor character in this episode. The fact that she sort of just sat there chilling with her various cocktails, making quite sort of cutting contributions to this nightmare double date that's going on. The way that she just went, that bit where Phoebe's like, she says how loose she is and she objects and then goes, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
I think she's really good. She's really sort of quite so passive in this episode, but actually really funny.
Yeah, I think she'd be great fun to have a drink with at the pub, wouldn't she? And also perfect for Joey. Phoebe's really put in the research here. She's come through for Joey, like she says. Although most of the attributes she describes are just hot and likes a threesome. Which, to be fair, is probably most of Joey's requirements in a woman.
Exactly. The crucial requirements of Joey in a relationship, you'd imagine, would be those things.
He's not the deepest of gentlemen, is he? And this all starts because Joey says he wants to settle down. That doesn't last very long, does it?
No, not at all.
And the only requirement, apart from the threesome hot thing, seems to be that she doesn't have a funny name, which is most of Phoebe's other friends. But yeah, I think Mary Ellen gets a bad time here. And to be fair, Mike takes a lot of the attention away from her. Like, as double dates go, I don't think Phoebe's tried to include her friend as much as she could have done from the start.
No,
she
that's
just sort
true.
Of sits down and goes, "So, Mike, tell me about you and Joey." And it just feels a bit like I'm trying to think if I've ever been on an actual double date, because
I've never been on a double date.
No, I mean, like, when you're at school or whatever, you go on like a double date, in inverted commas, where you just go to the cinema with three other people, you know? But I'm not sure, like, how would an actual double date in real grown-up life work? Because what I would have thought should have happened was Phoebe should have just started talking to Mike, right? And Joey shouldn't have really been involved in that conversation. He should be talking to Mary Ellen, and they should be, like, having a nice time, and then maybe a little group conversation emerges, you know?
Well, yeah, and this sort of example of dating just seems so chaotic and nightmarish, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Also, do you know what I realised? This is Phoebe's first, like, actual boyfriend, serious, since Gary.
Gary, off of Shooting
Gary
Bird.
Gary the bird murderer.
Yeah.
Like, that's a long fucking time ago.
Oh, she's due a good one, and gladly...
Yeah, not to shame Phoebe's single life. I'm hardly one to shame someone for that, but in the world of...
We get it, Dave,
friends,
you're a player.
Why are you such a prick sometimes? Yeah? Care to answer that, would you, Peter?
Sorry.
Can we talk about Joey's phone book, in which he only writes women's names, apparently, even though he does, like, clearly have some male friends?
I feel like his sole purpose for that phone book must be for, you know, booty calling women, because he does not seem like the organised person who would have, like, friends and colleagues in an address book.
No, but he's looking through it like he thinks that is his full phone book. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not looking through it as if this is my little black book with just women's numbers in it. I mean, the idea that there is just an actual book with phone numbers in it anymore is absurd to us, obviously, in 2020. What is it? Three? But
yes, that is the year, Dave.
It's hard to keep up, Peter. It's hard to keep up. But he does seem to get it out as if that's his full sort of, you know, contact list and would include, say, his dad, you know, and like his male friends and anyone like that. But he doesn't seem to even bother to have Ross's number, for example. We talk about how Mike gave up a law practice to play the piano. What the fuck are you playing at, mate?
I also love his miming of playing the piano at the end of this
episode. Oh, well, Pete, I don't want to technique shame Mike, but those are some flat fingers. That is not good piano playing.
What's the opposite of flat fingers?
Like, so imagine you put your hands on a piano, right? Flat, your fingers flat. Yeah. They should be sort of curved, so they're sort of like the tip of your fingers playing the note, and then your finger is like, has a nice arch to it.
Dave Cribb's arched fingers.
And this is why I'm single. What? I didn't want to make that joke, but it was just there. Somebody actually sent me that gif this week of Mike playing the piano, apropos, like, without this episode, apropos of nothing. And then they followed it up by sort of saying, I imagine you get sent this gif all the time. I was like, I don't, but you're absolutely right. Why the fuck don't I? Why don't people send me that gif all the time? That is a peak me gif, friends plus piano. I'm just very surprised that I haven't received it more. Maybe I need to introduce it into my sort of gif-based rotation myself. Anyway, going back to Mike giving up law to play the piano, I mean, that is going to be one fucking hell of a lifestyle come down for him. Let me tell you that for free, Michael. The money that you would have made as a lawyer and the money you will earn as a piano player are not compatible. And I hope you're happy to live a sort of, what's the word, modest life with your new career.
Are you telling me that you're not earning the big bucks as big bucks? You're not earning the big bucks, Dave.
The big bucks.
The big bucks is what I was going
bucks.
For.
Yes, no, it did. Well, no, because I'm not a professional piano player in the sense that that's my entire job, you know?
Yes, okay, fair.
Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, it's a thing I do on the side and I really enjoy doing. But I imagine if I did that every night of the week, it wouldn't certainly wouldn't come close to the amount of money people I know that are lawyers earn, you know?
And your fingers would be so weary after all that curved piano playing.
The piano isn't curved, for clarity.
The piano is straight. Anyway.
Do you know what I find weird about this plot is why Phoebe's so annoyed at Mike?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she does soften to him, though, doesn't she? Like, as soon as he sees her in Central Perk and he's like, oh, can we talk? And she's like, yeah, okay. But then she says, oh, why did you go along with it, doesn't she?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he's not really done anything wrong. Clearly, like, what he would have been offered was dinner for free, play along, and you might meet someone you like. And that feels like a good enough risk for most people.
Well, particularly if you're just out of a long-term relationship and you're up for meeting new people.
I mean, it is a bold thing to do, to be fair. If a stranger came up to you in a coffee shop and said, do you want to come for dinner with a single person immediately now that you might want to get together with? Like,
yeah,
totally. I'd have to be in the right proper fucking mood to do it, you know?
It does take a lot of confidence to do that, doesn't it?
To be fair to Mike, though, he was destined to fit in with this group because the way he tracked Phoebe down was just sitting in Central Perk for a bit because he knew she'd come in.
Yeah,
like, well, that will only work in a very specific group of friends, exactly. And then Phoebe and Mike arrange a date and, you know, the rest, as they say, Peter, is history. Time for the quiz.
I made the decision last week to just keep the quiz just general knowledge this week. And so I've got some questions here. I'm now going to ask you.
Okay.
One second.
Just a quiz segment more than a sort of friends relevant quiz. Is that what you've gone for?
It's largely because I forgot to. Well, I think both of us forgot to even inquire as to whether there was a quiz this week.
Well, I'll let you start your quiz and see how it sort of shapes up first, but then I might actually have something.
What's the capital of Finland?
Helsinki.
It's correct. Well done. question two. What's the name of Bridget Jones's baby in the third Bridget Jones film?
Oh, fucking no. Tom.
William.
Tom Jones. No.
At the time of writing, which I prepared this quiz in April 2023, how many episodes of The Simpsons are there?
Oh, fucking Nora. 30 times 24, 3, 2, 5. 5,245.
745.
Oh, no, I've done the math too big there. I meant 500 and, yeah. I've added a zero by mistake.
Big question for Friends fans, this. In which decade was Madonna born?
Oh, God, I'm so bad at this because I never know what actual decade it is. I still think it's the 90s. Where, 60s?
What, she was born? Oh, right.
60s.
She was born in 1958.
Close.
And finally, I actually think this is a quiz question that's of interest to Dave Cribb.
Yep.
Or Dave Crisp, as we always call him, because he bloody loves his crisps.
Go on.
What's the most sold flavour of Walker's crisps? I think this is a great question.
Oh, it's going to be ready salted, isn't it?
No.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
Cheese and
that.
Onion.
Okay, this is not ready salted.
Thank you to our good friends at Cosmopolitan Magazine for supplying that general knowledge quiz.
You'd be pleased to know, P, that when I looked at the spreadsheet, because I did for once, to find the episode, I saw there was no quiz available, so I wrote a quiz for this episode.
Did you actually?
I fucking did,
why didn't
did,
you
yeah.
stop me before I just read out that bullshit quiz? We've just been here for 5 minutes listening to that nonsense.
I thought it would be fun to see what you pulled out of your arsehole.
Right.
The first one, you'll get at least one of the two. What are the names of Phoebe's two funny
Sandy
type...
Sandy
and?
Lorna Titwiler?
Lana Titwiler, Lana. Yes, I'll give you that. What are the names of the restaurants Chandler finds jobs for in Tulsa?
Go So Cheesy.
Yep. There are three in total.
What's the main one? The main joke is about... one called I can't remember.
Slim Pickens. And the third one is Whole Hog. I actually did this question at the live quiz last week, and a lot of people got those too. One team got Whole Hog, so big shout out to them, because that's a fucking impressive get when you haven't just watched the episode. What's the name of the terrible restaurant headhunter?
Helena?
Nancy.
Oh.
Nancy Pete. Same name as Monica and Chandler's...
Nanny?
Realtor.
Why would they have a nanny? They don't have
Why would they have a nanny without children? Yeah, that'd be weird, wouldn't it?
This podcast is not my finest hour, I think it's fair to say.
What does it say on Ross's pyjama t-shirt?
Is there something about firefights? No, it's Joey who's wearing a firefight.
That's Joey. Top, you're quite right. It's similar, though. Ross is literally just says, New York City.
Okay.
Feels like a very touristy thing for Ross to be wearing. And finally, what's the name of the place where Joey and Phoebe have their dates? You'll never get this, but you should get it.
I don't know.
Go on. What would you call a restaurant?
What would I call a restaurant?
Yeah.
Pete's. Exactly.
It's actually Pete's Tavern, but I'll give you Pete's.
Okay, good.
Not bad. Not bad, Peter. What's next week's episode, please?
Next week's episode is season 6, episode 13, the one with Rachel's sister. And Mark, if you're listening to this, you promised us a quiz and you are yet to send it. So
send us the quiz, Mark. Send us the quiz and we'll see you next week. Bye, Mark. Bye. And bye to everybody else, not just to Mark.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.